forever. Dog.
Tell me. Tell me. What makes you sing? What makes you sing? What makes you sing? What makes you sing? With Larry Owens. Hi, welcome back to What Makes You Sing with Larry Owens. I'm Larry Owens. We're here at the Forever Dog Studios on the historic Lower East Side of Park Slope, Brooklyn. That's not real. And I think that's one day someone's going to come to New York, you know, one of our international listeners, and be like, I want to go to Park Slope on the Lower East Side. But that's for the New York fans. Anyway, this is What Makes You Sing. It's a comedy podcast about music. We are, you know, if you're joining in for the first time, I should tell you that none of this has been rehearsed. None of this music has been seen. It's all just happening organically, Whole Foods in the studio and making all the music come to life. It's James Harvey behind
Hello,
the keys.
Mr. Owens.
In the studio. Wait, so this is such a treat. It's one of the founders of the Forever Dog Network, Alex Ramsey, HPA.
I'm not mic'd up.
Hot producer Alex is here, not mic'd up, which HPA, you know, loves his mic. HPA, hot producer Andrew, sorry, disambiguation, there are two HPAs. Hot producer Andrew, who's not with us today.
Where is he, do we know?
Trivia, I think he has a trivia night. We know that he is a host in his own right, and you should follow his account at McGuai Guy and go and check out his trivia shows, his live shows. But, you know, we love having Alex in the studio. Thanks for giving us a podcast and letting us be in everyone's ears every Tuesday. Oh my gosh. Well, you know how we start the show. It's with a request, and this request comes from Baby Girl. Strange dear, but true dear, when I'm close to you dear, the stars fill the sky, so in love with you. Without you, my arms fold about you. You know, darling, why so in love with you am I? In love with the night mysterious. The night when you first were there, in love with my joy delirious, then I knew that you could care. So taught me and hurt me, deceived. Desert me, I'm yours till I die. So in love with you, my love. Am I from? Is it some sheet music? Is it from the show?
This is some sheet music.
Yeah, that was like, it was like,
what, those last chords?
I don't know. Something about it was like a little honky tonk. Like it was
the very last chords.
Yeah, it was just like, it'd be like, ding, Da-da-ding.
Those were James' original chords.
We're digressing. We need to move forward because we have a legend in the studio. This is a premium episode of What Makes You Sing. A premium episode means you should be paying for this shit. Because in the studio, we have someone, she invented the word multi-hyphenate, a singer, a writer, an actress, a storyteller, an activist. You've seen her on Difficult People. You've seen her as part of the Marvel Universe on Netflix. You've seen her in the finale of Transparent on Amazon. You've seen her across the country in her own show, Manifest Pussy. She is my mother. She gave me the art to make. The founding artistic director of the Musical Theater Factory. It is the one, the only, Shakina Nathan! Shakina!
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Oh my gosh.
I've been really jealous to like have waited this long to get on your show.
We had to work out the kinks.
I get it. Listen, I know about kinks.
Yeah, there's the preview process. Then you have open. Like, it's 2020. The podcast is now open.
We're here.
Yeah, and we're ready for...
I'm happy to be the first Broadway replacement.
You are. No, you are. You're like, honestly, like the stunt cast. Like, we're like, bring someone in who's going to give us like numbers.
Yeah, just holiday. Slump ticket sales.
Not slump. Oh my gosh. No, we're obsessed and we love you.
We love you. I mean, we being me. I love you.
I love you. Thank you for being here. You're the busiest person of all time.
A little bit.
You like have like, you know, like so many hands and so many
pies.
Yeah. That's the phrase. So yeah, it's a real treat to have you here. I mean, just personally, my personal connection, like,
tell the world,
Shakina Nathan is the reason why I was a part of A Strange Loop. This is the person who said, Michael R. Jackson, you should meet this person, and Larry Owens, you should meet this person. And I remember climbing up those stairs above the drama bookshop 4 years ago, and having my little like 1-inch binder of sheet music, and I sang from Fat Camp, and then I sang Bill Finn, Love Me for What I Am, and then you were just like, here.
I just died. My jaw dropped to the floor. I said, who is this man? I made you wait so I could record you singing and send it directly to Bill Finn.
Oh,
you remember that?
Yes, it's still on YouTube. It's like, that's like, that was one of those like special kind of like when like the Forever Dog, like, you know, podcasters like were like, here, oh my God, this person. Like, it was one of those moments where it's like, wait, this person thinks that this is worth something, that it's worthwhile, like, to like you like put worth on what I intrinsically did. And then you gave like not just myself, but a whole community of people the way to get the work seen without all of the barriers in between the public and the artist.
Thank you. That was, you know, the dream. That's, I think, like what we all want to be able to do for each other. I mean, at least the ones who lead with love, is to open a door and allow people to be seen for who they really are and what they really can bring if given the opportunity. And we had such a blessing those 18 months that we were in that porn studio. We really just took full advantage, you know, of the
for context,
right.
It was the Musical Theater Factory. Its original offices were like a converted porn studio.
It was in we were in the back room of Dark Alley Media.
Dark Alley.
A gay bareback porn studio that was like still in operation while we were creating Musical Theater Factory.
And how did you get connected with the space?
I went to college with the founder of Dark Alley.
See?
Yeah, community. We were like playwrights together.
Oh, okay. And then all those you said, you're like, hey, I have this really radical idea for musical theater specifically.
Yeah.
And then that became
I used to go visit him when I would be in the city, even before I moved there, and he had this like prime real estate, as you know. And I was like, there's a lot more you could do here besides make porn.
Yeah.
And so when they only had 18 months left on the lease, and you know, DVDs were not the market they once were.
Oh, digital, yeah.
Yeah, but do you remember all those like stacks of the most aggressively gay hardcore porn you could ever imagine?
That like everyone could like leave with a few DVDs parting
right.
With the playbill, like with the show program.
Come with 18 bars, leave with 18 inches.
Oh my gosh. Okay, t-shirts, merch.
Yeah. And it was, and then, yeah. So,
but it was successful. Like, it was like, I mean, a lot of people have these like grandiose like ideas. Like, everyone has a mission statement, but it like, it's like literally from the writers group and from the Sing Your Face Off, which is what that audition was where I met you. Like, from those little programs, from that programming inside of that institution, there literally was like a hit show that was called the number one show. Like, that is from your mothering. Like, that is from your, and so. So it, the Musical Theater Factory, where we met, what you are the artistic founding director of, the mission was for the artist to create without the, free from the pressures of critical and commercial success.
Right.
And literally today, there was this huge like grant like released at a theater, and so like they're like they have a mission statement that sounds a little bit derivative of that. I think that you've started a trend. About people, hey, maybe the artist shouldn't feel gridlocked into a commercial system.
Yeah, I think we tapped into something that had been there the whole time that people didn't have the words for, which was that our art was not being recognized as labor. And that was what the first organizing principle of the factory was really about, the economic justice of creating musical theater in New York City, like how to do it in a fair and sustainable way. And then as the organization grew and we got a bigger platform and had more resources and knew that we then had a responsibility to allocate those resources fairly, then we began organizing around racial justice as well and gender justice.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so now the Musical Theater Factory is the leader on all of those fronts. Like, not just like the actual art form, not just like what's happening inside of the content, but also in who is making it and like literally the trans artists who are creating there right now. Like, you can go and see a Musical Theater Factory concert at Joe's Pub like every month. And like, you can see an artist of color like doing musical theater, which is, it's so like the fact that I found you, that God let me find you. And it was specifically musical theater, because theater can get its respect in certain circles, but musical theater has this cachet of being like easy kind of, or like
you
know, because like so false. With like the commercial face of it, with, you know, these adaptations and but like the musical theater that you were bringing in, this like amazing American third wave of, like, is rich, is complex, it's Hammersteinian, it's Sondheimian, it is all of those principles, but the access point is through people we've never seen operate it before.
Exactly.
You're a fucking genius. Okay, so that was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Talk about, oh my gosh, talk about just what was it like to be the savior of a series, to drop into like your latest, like, you ended 2019 with a huge bang.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
when you start on Transparent.
Yeah. So Transparent was one of those shows that, as a trans person, I always felt was like, you know, problematic, but I also loved it because at least it existed. And so I would binge watch it every season it came out, but it'd also be like, oh my God, again, you know, but I would still watch it. But I would be so frustrated that there was this like cis man playing this trans role and winning all these awards and saying that, you know, he should be the last cis man to win an award for playing a trans person, but then still playing the part. And so, you know, when it ended, I had done a concert the year before with Faith Soloway, Jill Soloway's sibling, who's a composer who wrote the majority of the music, or all the music, for the movie. And I co-wrote some lyrics with her.
Okay, credits.
Yeah, credits. All over it. Writer, producer, lyricist.
On Transparent?
Guest star. Yeah.
Because all of your expertise, because you are the total package. So
exactly. And I was like, you need me in every one of these categories.
A one-woman production company.
Yeah.
And also, like when you're talking about, like, the voice of the people, you know what I mean, inside of like creating it, I think that, you know,
yeah, well,
your presence there on that team is, you know,
that's what I kept telling them, was like, they brought me in first as an actor, and then we actually did a really secret workshop at Musical Theater Factory. So I know no one really knew about this, but like Jill Soloway, Faith Soloway, Judith Light, Amy Landecker, Jada Plus, Gabby Hoffman all came out, Alexander Billings, to MTF, and we had this like secret week-long workshop where we like took these songs and we were like, what would this musical be? There were also let's see, Leslie Margarita and Joe Lampert and Eric Lieberman were also there playing the roles that they played in the film eventually.
The
doppelbangers.
Doppelbangers.
Yeah. And So afterwards, I was like, well, now you've been in my creative home. You've seen what I'm capable of doing as a producer to assist in your process. So if you need any support in the writing or producing of this movie musical, you just let me know. You know where to
find
me.
Look at my kingdom.
Yeah.
Stay for a while. It's very nice over here. Yeah. We have surplus.
Yeah. So then they brought me on. And then when I went out to LA, it was like, wow, we were really starting from square one. And most of the people had no idea how to make a musical. So it was a lot of like, all right, crash course 101. What makes a musical? What makes a dramatic moment? Like, how do you have to get from A to B and tell story through
that
song?
That is so hilarious that you have like the inverse experiences where at the factory, you were building the resources, but there was so much expertise and
so
like
much expertise.
IP. There's like intellectual property, a go go. And then here it's like, what's an I want song? But there's like so many resources to like
my
put
favorite,
two words aside.
My favorite part was when we were having the budget conversations with Amazon and they were kind of giving us the short end of the stick. So Jill gave me this assignment and Jill was like, I want y'all to create the most expensive version of this movie ever on paper. So we just had the task for a week of like imagining the most overproduced movie musical we could ever make. It was like flying cars and fun. It was so epic.
Practical. Yes.
But then it did get us like, you know, an extra million or something.
Hey, there you
know?
Go.
So
there
yeah.
You go. And it looked so beautiful. You were so beautiful. When you walk into the audition sequence, like it is, I was watching it and I guess it's like a Millie Domount, like Star is Born. Like moment, they give you the hero shot, the camera pans. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. You'll cry, and just to, like you, you duetting with Judith Light, and like know how much like Judith Light means to Michael R. Jackson.
That
and
was
then,
really
like
a beautiful
that, and
harmony,
it, that's such a. It's what a wonderful world. And that is a song, and this is a podcast about music. So let me ask you the question. Let me ask you the question I ask all of my guests, Shakita, Nathak, and that is, what is the music that made you?
Well, I think the music that made me is the queer musical theater of the 90s.
Okay, wait, that's a sentence. Go on.
So, like, you know, I found myself and people like me through Rent and Hedwig, really.
Okay, so...
I guess Hedwig might have been the early 2000s. No, it was definitely the late 90s when it...
Definitely,
first, definitely 90s. Late 90s.
Yeah. So paint the picture. Tell us where you are, who you are.
Yeah.
90s. I feel like you were in college.
No, I was high school.
Okay.
I was actually...
High school,
college,
sorry.
College for Hedwig. But high school, I was like a rent head in high school. And, you know, Angel... was like the first figure, like myself. I mean, aside from Rocky Horror, which is like, when you look at it, is really like a sexual predator. It was not a great role model, Frankenfurter. But Angel Dumont Chouinard was a fucking legend. And a dream.
Yeah.
And then of course I was like, oh, I'm never going to be that smaller Puerto Rican, so I'll never play that part. But at least knowing that like a character on stage could exist.
Yeah.
Who I identified with.
At that point, like it's like in your favorite art form. Would you say the musical theater is your favorite art form?
Yeah.
Medium?
I think so.
It combines so much.
Yeah. I think that's why I like it, because it's all the languages at once.
Yeah. And then so to have that like, you know, that like very, you know, early like beacon of like some sort of representation.
Yeah. I think, I mean, in terms of is musical theater my favorite art form, the thing that I like to say is that musicals aren't necessarily a thing I care about, but they're the way that I care about the things that I care about.
Oh.
Because you can really put a lot of care and passion and intention into
okay.
know, a story with song.
So you're in high school and there's the Rent double disc.
The Rent double disc. I wore it out. I had Rent parties at my house where we would just like put on the whole thing.
Who's coming over to the Rent
party? Just like drama kids. Drama kids from all the different high schools that I dropped out of. So I would have, they'd be like these epicenter parties where they would be like mixers, you know, for like Thespian Society, except we didn't have Thespian Society. We just had Shekinah's house.
Why were you dropping out of school?
Oh, because I was gay in the 90s and that just like wasn't cool in Orange County, California. So I tried to like start riots and rallies and clubs and stuff. And yeah, it was pretty aggro.
Yeah, so you responded to, so there was like negativity and you responded to that with like, I'm not going to be put down. I'm actually going to rise up.
Yeah. Act up, fight AIDS.
So where does this revolutionary streak come from? Like this, like, yeah.
I've always just had it. You know, it's kind of inherited. My great, great grandmother killed a Russian soldier with an axe when he tried to rape her daughter and buried his body in the backyard.
Badass.
And then my great grandmother was a union organizer in Chicago who used to wear this like extra strength hat pin so she could pop the tires of the factory owners.
Pinning, badass.
Yeah. And then my grandfather was, grew up in an orphanage in East LA and ended up becoming a lawyer who wrote laws to protect the working people, especially the Latinx community in LA.
Badass.
And then my mom has been an activist and an advocate for youth that have come through the criminal justice system. And so I just kind of came into a really social justice minded family. So I always had that streak of, you know, resistance.
And then here's Rent.
Like, it's blowing it up.
It's your balm. It's resistance, but it's like also like love. It's like,
yeah,
it's
La Vie Boheme. Yeah.
All these things. It's so much in one thing.
Exactly. And it was also like a way that my generation could start to understand how AIDS was affecting us.
Yeah.
Because when I was in high school, it's like they were not kids in my high school getting HIV. But because that's all anyone was ever talking about, we were all, especially queer kids or closeted queer kids, like living under the shadow of this thing that made our sexuality deadly. Mm-hmm. And we were just coming to understand what our sexuality was. So it was a really sort of like terrifying
moral shackling.
Exactly.
At a time where you're like supposed to be like sexually explorative. Like,
yeah.
And yeah. So
right.
That's a lot of tension there.
Yeah.
What song from Rent were you slapping?
Oh, I mean, the album cover to cover, but probably, Without You. It's not really a song that slaps, but it's such a deep and beautiful song.
Yes, we love a deep and beautiful song.
And then when Hedwig came out, that's when I like really blew up.
Okay.
My dorm room.
Okay, do you feel like you could give us
some Without You? Is that what you want to do? And you were getting into it, and I was like, no, I shouldn't have said
we're
that one.
We're getting into it. Wait, hold on.
We could do it all.
Deus Ex Musical Theater. Like,
let's get my Downey Ruin Vega voice together.
Yeah, that's like an unwarming up.
Does it have a different title in the score? Like, it's part of a...
It's definitely Without You. My favorite song is? My favorite song is definitely, I'm going to change my mind. Yeah. Halloween.
Okay, Halloween. This
all
is
right,
ready.
What act is?
This is act two, right? Okay. Before I'll cover your reprise.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'll cover your reprise too. We could do one into the other.
Okay, wait. Oh, no, it's I'll cover your reprise into Halloween?
That's I don't know.
Okay.
I literally... Great.
James is combing through the handwritten score of Rent right now.
It's just because it's such an obscure little ditty in the middle of the show. It's really the introspective, like the Jonathan Larson moment where he's asking himself.
Oh, Halloween is haunting.
Yeah. No,
that's what I would reply.
You wanna start? Yeah, a little I'll cover you reprise. Yeah, fuck.
It's okay. Yeah, calm down.
Live in my house, I'll be your shelter. Just pay me back with 1,000 kisses. Be my lover, and I'll cover you. Tenant, don't got much baggage to lay at your feet, but sweet kisses I've got to spare. I'll be there and I'll cover you. I think they meant it when they said you can't buy love. Now I know you can rent it. A new lease, you are my love.
online. Oh my life. I don't remember how this part goes. Live. Yeah. Yeah. I've longed to discover.
That's it.
Some, no, that's wrong.
As true as it is.
That's right.
That's right. You got it.
Right into it? Oh my god, you are killing me.
Oh, is this Halloween?
Yeah, is that tempo right? I don't know.
Right in one great song.
Oh, we have.
How did we get here?
Oh. Okay, fast. I think it's so not
super,
even.
Super fast.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's it.
Yeah. How did we get here? How the hell Pandlock? Close on the steeple of the church. How did I get here? How the hell? Christmas. Christmas Eve last year. How could a night so frozen be so scalding hot? How can a morning this mild be so raw? Why are entire years strewn on the cutting room floor of memory? When single frames of one magic night forever flicker in close up on the 3D IMAX of my mind.
That's poetic.
That's pathetic. Why did Mimi knock on Roger's door and Collins choose that phone booth back where Angel set up her drums? Why did Marine's equipment break down? Why am I the witness? And when I capture it on film, will it mean that it's the end and I'm alone?
Wow, cathartic. Those Marky Mark feelings.
Yeah. So special.
Those Mark feelings. I was in a camp production of Rent, and during this number, our Mark like was doing the list. And you know, like when you do a list, you're supposed to like, and you know, as a kid, you're like building it.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you're supposed to build.
Yep.
So it's like, why maybe not going to Roger's door, Colin, she's at home room, Angel's out of the drum. And then he went, why did Maureen's equipment break down? like that's actually the crux of Rent.
That was
like
the worst part. test 1, 2, 3.
Maureen's equipment hadn't broken down.
The butterfly effect.
Yeah, that's the butterfly.
It wouldn't have happened.
Why did Maureen's equipment break down?
I once saw a production of Rent Jr. where Benny was played by a little white girl.
Oh, wait.
It was amazing because it added this whole other like lesbian storyline that wasn't even in the original. It was amazing.
Oh my gosh. I think the Mark's bi, but
yeah. I just feel like I have to share something with you because we're doing this and it's like really causing me so much anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm doubtful that your listeners would know this, but like, so I, even though I have like a professional career that involves singing, I am tone deaf. And I like, so I have a really challenging time hearing pitch. I actually know how to sing by paying attention to where I feel vibrations like in my bones.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's this is like the most, that's why I have my headphones like halfway off. It's
that's,
so
no, wait,
terrifying.
This is news to me.
Yeah, no, I haven't
told
I'm like
amazing.
Literally coming out
oh
on
my
your
gosh.
Show.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Okay, I appreciate this.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's why I'm like, no. This is for, like, one should challenge oneself to step into positions where one feels uncomfortable.
I appreciate
it. So you're not tone deaf. You just have a different way of
right, but
processing
like,
pitch.
Yeah, like, but not through my ears. So right. Technically it is kind of a deafness, I think. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I worked with one music director years and years and years ago who helped me understand like how to find a bell tone.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that I can like, actually I have to like, when I hear it, I have to feel where it vibrates in my body, like from my like crown chakra to my
orient like, it in yourself. Yeah. Where that home pitch is. And right. Then you can base the other notes around that.
Exactly. It's crazy.
Well, you're doing amazing. Oh, bravery is like what this is about. Like this is all like, we want to like, so when I became a comedian after being an actor, like acting is about like the formalities about presenting like rehearsed work. And then comedy is about like the off the cuff, like, you know, I find it, I will even say it here, chaotic nature of life. And, you know, when they say, what is comedy? Tragedy over time. So it's like, it really is. The listeners, a lot of them, like they love the moment of us figuring it out and like the language that we have to like figure it out and like to speak about it. So I appreciate it, you being here. And please let us know what you need as we go along.
Oh, no, just patience, because I'll find it eventually.
Oh, well, you're nailing it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm having a great time.
You're nailing it. Again, this is a premium episode. Okay, so let's talk Hedwig.
Hedwig. I remember there was like a tiny little article at Entertainment Weekly, like a 16th of a page, like literally 2 square inches about it in like 1996. And I remember seeing that and being like, what is this magic? I must know. I have to find out. And so when I came to New York for the first time by myself when I was 18 on spring break from my first year of college, and I went down to the Jane Street Theater and I saw Hedwig thrice. And I brought a mini disc recorder. Do you know what a mini disc recorder is?
Sure.
So it kind of came, it was like this short-lived technological phenomenon that occurred somewhere after CD and before MP3. And it looked like a little hard drive that had a tiny little CD inside of it. And they said it had like really great whatever sound. And so I took one from a friend at college who was like a sound geek, and I bootlegged Hedwig so that I could just transcribe the script myself.
I didn't do it to share it.
So I wanted to know the whole story and like write it down,
the structure of it, and like what was happening on the page, and like how it like looks to approach it from like not just watching it as an audience member, but from like creating it.
Yeah. And so then in my dorm room, I had those I had that piece of furniture that some people lovingly call the Brady. It's like a mirror with like 4 drawers, and I had that emergency flashlight that my parents like sent me to college with, and I would duct tape the flashlight to the top of the mirror and turn off all the lights, and I would perform the entirety of Hedwig
in spotlight. The mirror,
spotlight, wig on, wig off, makeup running, no squishing tomatoes, but like basically everything else.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was like so obsessed with.
For the listeners, show. This is John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yes.
And what was like the, what's the, what's your Hedwig anthem?
I mean, you know, obviously The Origin of Love, but I don't want you to make me sing that one because it's like 7.5 minutes long.
It's The Origin of Love.
It literally is
our pleasure. Yeah. I think when the earth was still flat.
Yeah.
But this song is the songwriting here is
so glam rock and so heartfelt. When the earth was still flat, and the clouds made a fire, and the mountains stretched up to the sky, sometimes higher. Folks roamed the earth like big rolling kegs. They had 2 sets of arms, they had 2 sets of legs, they had 2 faces peering out of 1 giant head, so they could watch all around them as they talked while they read. And they never knew nothing of love, it was before the origin of love,
the origin of love,
the origin of love,
the origin of love.
Well, there were 3 sexes then, one that looked like 2 men glued up back to back, called the children of the sun. and similar in shape and girth were the children of the earth. They looked like two girls rolled up in one. And the children of the moon was like a fork shoved on a spoon. They were part sun, part earth, part daughter, part sun. The gods grew quite scared of our strength and defiance, and Thor said, I'm gonna kill them all with my hammer, like I killed the giants. But Zeus said, no, you better let me use my lightning like scissors, like I've got the legs off the whales, dinosaurs into lizards. And then he grabbed up some bolts, he let out a laugh, said I'll split them right down the middle, gonna cut them right up in half. And the storm clouds gathered above into great balls of fire. And then fire shot down from the sky in bolts like shining blades of a knife. And it ripped right through the flesh of the children of the sun and the moon and the earth. And summoning in God, offensive rule the soul with the souls from around to our belly to remind us the price we paid. And Osiris and gods of the Nile gathered up a big storm to blow a hurricane, to scatter us away, a flood of wind and rain, a sea of tidal waves to wash us all away. And if we don't behave, they'll cut us down again. We'll be hopping around on one foot and looking through one eye. Last time I saw you, we had just split in two. You were looking at me, and I was looking at you. You had a way so familiar, I could not recognize, cause you had blood on your face, I had blood in my eyes. But I could swear by your expression that the pain down in your soul was the same as the one down in mine. Oh, that's the pain that cuts a straight line down through the heart. We call it love. We wrapped our arms around each other, tried to shove ourselves back together. We were making love, making love. It was a cold, dark evening such a long time ago, when by the mighty hand of Jove, it was a sad story how we became lonely, two-legged creatures. The story of the origin of love. That's the origin of love. Oh, yeah. The origin of love. The origin of love.
I would love to just do the full score of Hedwig.
Wow.
Honestly. Yeah, dream roll.
Let's keep going. Wow. Obviously.
I'm sweating. I have so much boob sweat.
You just told a story. You just told the story of the creation of the world.
I also have been saying that song since I was like 19.
I mean,
it's been a long time.
I came into it when I saw Broadway Revival, and like the way that they did that, I saw John Cameron Mitchell's first Broadway performance of it. It was so.
You want to know something cute? I saw John Cameron Mitchell do that on Broadway right after getting a vagina, and my mom was coming to visit me like post-op, and I took her to the show, and then we went to use the ladies' room together, and we were sitting stall by stall, and from the stall next door, my mom goes, I think it's very fitting that the first time we go to the ladies' room together is at Hedwig.
Oh my God, Mom! That's a Broadway dream.
Broadway dream. Oh, they do come true.
Gosh. Wow. I mean, yeah, let's just do our Hedwig. You want to do Midnight Radio?
Yeah. Do you want to know the last time I sang that song?
Tell us.
The last time I sang Midnight Radio was on stage at Musical Theater Factory the night before I left for Thailand, when I did the final performance of One Woman Show.
Oh my gosh. This is as special as I hoped it would be. Wow, you are not holding back. We're so... this is an honor, truly.
Thank you.
Hard burned, try a dream or a song that hits you so hard, filling you up and suddenly gone.
Episode. Tell everyone out there where they can love you, where they can see you, where they can follow you, and they can hear you.
You can find me everywhere obsessed. On Shakeens. I'm S-H-A-K-E-E-N-Z on every social, and my website is shakina.nyc.
Oh my gosh, it has been.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to inspire so many people. This is going to inspire a lot of people.
Maybe someone will finally offer me that role.
I think that. It's all right here. Okay, I don't want to let you go. I just want to. I want to start.
Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands.
Lift up your hands.
Lift up your.
Door to me, hide all the world from me, bar all the windows and shut out the light. Do what you want with me, hate me and laugh at me, darken my daytime and tortured my night. My life were important, I would ask, will I live or die? But I know the answers lie far from this world. Close every door to me, keep those I love from me. Children of Israel, I never alone, for I know we shall find my own peace of mind that I have been promised a land of mine. Oh.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.